Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord, for this conference this week. I ask you to speak, Lord, through your people this week, Lord, and stir us up, Father, and help us to do what you want us to do, Lord. And this is the most important work we could possibly have. And we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being co-workers in this thing that we're doing for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. You know, it's incredible to me when I think about the mission conference. I always think about, okay, what exactly I want to, you know, talk about and different things, and this time as I was thinking about all these incredible people in the Bible that it's just amazing to me. There's not too many people, famous people in the Bible that I can say, you know what, I can relate to these people. You know, there's a few nobodies. They don't even mention their names. You know, I can relate to those people. You know, but I mean, when you think about, for example, over there in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 11, it says, this is not where I'm going to be preaching tonight, but just I'm going to get started here. 1 Samuel chapter 11. It says just an amazing thing is about David's men, about his. I mean, who are these guys? These guys are. I think they did glow in the dark. You know, I mean, this is incredible. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 11, chapter 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 11. Did I say that? Okay. Chronicles. I'm going to be in Samuel. It'll be a long night. Right. It says here in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11, 1 Chronicles. It says, and this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Joshabim. Says, a Hashmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. I mean, it's like a human shish kebab. You know, I mean, this is incredible. 300 men with a spear. And I don't know exactly how he did it. But, I mean, we're talking about David's, I mean, valiant men. I mean, extremely powerful people. I can't relate to this guy. You know, I think, you know, when I think about people like this, I'm thinking, man, you know, I wouldn't mind being in the group. You know, because if you're with a guy who can do a shish kebab with 300 people, more than likely you're going to be returning home after the war. You don't have to be doing much fighting. Maybe just a little, you know, hurrah, go for it. You know, you get the job done. I'm here with you. You know, I like those kind of people. But you know what? Since I've been affiliated with you guys, man, I'm surrounded with some crazy people. You know? I mean, seriously, with some crazy ideas. You know, I remember one time I was here in this church, Brother Lindo. I remember it was Brother Lindo. He was asking, I guess it was a Sunday morning, he was asking if somebody would have time to drive Brother Steve around. He had some visits that week, and I said, sure, I'll do it. So I go with Brother Steve, right? I go to pick him up, right? First and last time I did it. I go to pick him up, and we take off, do our visits. On the way back, we're going over this bridge there, almost getting to his house, and he looks down, and he says, hey, let's go preach in a bar. And I'm thinking, what? Yeah, look, just turn around. And so we turned around. We go into a parking lot full of people. This was not my idea. You know, I'm thinking, I signed up to take Brother Steve to go visit. I didn't sign up to go preach in a bar. So we pull up to an American Legion, packed out. Brother Steve goes, okay, we're going to go in there. This is the plan. We're going to go in there, and we're going to preach. And we're going to get out. And I'm thinking, man. I said, okay, this guy's my pastor, right? I'm thinking, okay, he knows what he's doing. So he has the door open, and it's packed out. He has the door open with his hand on the door, opens the door, and I go in, and it's a bunch of kids and ladies in there. They had a Boy Scout meeting that night, and his family was in there. Crazy, crazy ideas. You know, I was thinking about down there once I got down to Mexico. We're there in Irapuato, and Bill just mentioned this. I guess the last men's meeting we had, it was pretty funny. But we went out and preached at a neighborhood. It's real common down there. One day it's just a vacant field. And the very next day, there's cardboard houses everywhere. You know, these communist people, they just move in and then they just own the land. Well, we decide to go preach over there, you know. And so we get there and we start preaching and we get into some trouble. You know, they're coming out with hoses. I mean, not hoses, but the kind that you dig up the ground. Machetes and all these other tools, you know, that aren't for people to be stabbing with. But anyways, they're coming out with us, you know, all these things, and they say, you know what? Don't come back or we're going to get you. Well, you know, I'm just like that guy in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan's armor bearer. What's his name? I have no idea. But he's holding the tools, you know, his weapons or whatever. You know, and Bill stand up there, you know, big old 6-foot white guy, you know, he's standing there, well, you know, we're going to be coming back tomorrow. We don't care what you say. And I'm thinking, well, now, hold on, wait a minute. I ain't saying nothing. I'm thinking, okay, I guess not only did he tell these people that we're going to be coming back, we told them the time we're going to be coming back. I think that wasn't too wise. You know, it was one of those nights where I said, well, I think we're going to go out to tacos tonight here. And might be my last meal. It's one of those nights where you're thinking, you know, Lord, send some kind of sickness to me, please. Some excuse other than I just don't want to go tomorrow night and preach. You know, because that's kind of lame. You know, maybe if I had a sore throat, you know, maybe I was coughing up blood or something, you know. Something that I could say, I ain't going to make it tonight because of this. You know, hoping for a flat tire, my engine blow up. Something that I don't make it over there. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 14. Just crazy stories. Crazy people. But it's been fun. Been down in Mexico for 13 years. It's been good. It's been fun. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1. You know, I want to use this and talk about this mission of Jonathan. We're in a mission conference, and hence mission, right? Jonathan's mission. So we're going to talk about that. And I saw some things in here and in a mission. You know, I love war stories. I love war movies. I love watching. I don't care if they're true or, you know, the more false, the better. I guess the story gets even better and the movie gets even better. But, you know, I love they have an assignment and they go and they capture a flag or they capture whatever, you know. And I just love war movies, you know. And I'm thinking about this right here. And if you read, you know, the previous chapters, it's just incredible. Jonathan gets there and obviously the people are distressed. You know, Saul did a dumb thing. And so they're just basically there waiting. And they're just about ready to go in and the Philistines are there. And all of a sudden, Jonathan gets a pretty crazy idea. He says in verse 1, he says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison. That is on the other side, but he told not his father. You know, the first thing I want to talk about, the mission that we have as Christians, is this guy, these two men here, the certitude they had, they were gung-ho to do something. And like I said, I can't really relate to Jonathan as I think that's just a crazy idea. You know, he didn't tell his dad. You know, he didn't tell anybody else. The only person he told was, you know, his armor bearer. He says, you know what? Let's go over and let's start fighting with the Philistines. And that's just a crazy idea. What's even crazier is this guy said nothing. You know, he just listened to him and he said, okay. You know, I mean, I don't know if he thought it was a good idea or a bad idea or what. It's just amazing to me. He just followed, you know, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about these, you know, this mentality that we should have. Sometimes I think in this work, that's exactly the mentality we should have. Just do it. You know what their plan was? Come and go over. That was the plan. You know, the Lord's going to give the victory. I mean, that's definitely what Jonathan thought. Jonathan, you know what? God has put us here. The enemy is right there. We're just going to walk over there and God is going to win the fight for us. Now, you know, lots of times I think we need that type of attitude to do this work. You know, who would have thought? You know, our churches, none of our pastors down there in these Mexican churches that are there doing the work and preaching every night, making their own plans. None of these guys, as far as I know, well, they don't call me. None of these guys call us and say, what do you think about this? You know, they don't call the pastors up here, you know, and say, you know what? I'm thinking about evangelizing this neighborhood. What do you think? They just get up and do it. You know why they do it? Because they're sure that God is going to give them the victory. That's the same way they got saved. You know, the foolishness of this decision, come and let us go over. What an invitation. Come and we're going to get this done. Listen to what else happened in verse 2. In verse 2 it says, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. You know, in any work that we do for the Lord, there's always going to be people sitting around. It's amazing to me that Saul had 600 men just sitting around. But you know what? This didn't discourage Jonathan. You know, he didn't say, you know what, man, these guys are, this young man that was, this guy that was with his helper, he didn't say, well, you know what, maybe we should just follow, you know, follow the example of these other people. You know, they're just sitting under a tree, eating some fruit, kicking back. You know, let's just wait on the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say that? Wait on the Lord, man. You know, hey, Bill, let's not go to the meet just right now. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's go get some tacos, you know. Let's not go preach in no cantina, you know. Let's just take it easy. But you know what? We're not called to take it easy. We got a work to do. People die every single day. You know, and I was thinking about this. You know, the discouragement that sets in, and this is why I like every year coming up and having a mission conference. You know what? You know what I want to do? Just like, I don't know if you caught that, Brother Steve, in Haggai. I have a verse in there in this message too about that. But the Bible says that that God stirred up Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. That's good. That's good, right? He stirred him up. And not only did he stir him up, but he stirred up Joshua. Stirred him up. Well, you know what? These mission conferences, you know why I like them? First of all, because I got saved during a mission conference. And second of all, because it was during a mission conference that I got stirred up and said, you know what? I think I need to be following those crazy guys that go out there preaching. You know? I think I need to be one of them. I might not be, you know, it's funny to me, I see it all the time. You know, everybody remembers or recognizes certain people in our churches, right? Brother Lindell. Who can forget that? You know? I mean, it's hard to do. You know? There's certain people that just, their charisma, their whatever it is, you know? I mean, Brother Lindell can say his name one time and the person is probably not going to forget. But you know, I can introduce myself to somebody 50 times. You know, my picture's outside there, and they go, "Oh, thank you for visiting." You know, I come and go, hey, well, you know, who invited you here? I mean, I'm just hanging around. Don't worry about me. You know, I really, and I'm fine with that, you know. I like being, you know, like I said, you know, being hooked up with one of David's, you know, strong men who, you know, hey, I get the victory too, you know. I mean, I don't care what team wins a championship. You know, in football, you only got a certain amount of people who play. There's a lot of people on the bench, but they all get rings and they all get bonuses. You know, I mean, they're there yelling too, even though they didn't play 1 minute. They're on the roster. Well, you know what? I'm on the roster. You know, and you guys are on the roster. You know, lots of times the discouragement, and not only do we feel it, man, you know, we don't really do that much. Maybe you're thinking that. Well, let me tell you, one thing that encourages me, one thing that makes me want to go out and not fail and do what I'm supposed to do is when I see that list that they send to me every single month with names that's been there for 13 years. And you say, well, you know, I don't give that much. But you're on there every single month. Every single month. I'm looking at your name, I'm thinking, you know what? These people have put some trust. Whether it's, I mean, and you could have done it blindly. And if you do, I don't care. Do it blindly. You know, if you just say, all the missionaries, that's fine. Just do all the missionaries. I don't care. What I'm saying is, you're doing it for the Lord. This is His work. And you know what the reality is? If I'm going to be out there, I need you to be here. I mean, that's the reality. You know, lots of times we get discouraged. But you know what? I come to you tonight and I make no apologies for being a missionary. No apologies. I like this job. I really do. You know what? I took my daughter to a feria, to a carnival. It's not a carnival. It's where they have rides. A bunch of mechanical rides. What do you call that? Carnival? Amusement park. But it's one of these fly-by-night ones. It's just, you know, set up there in Mexico, you know? It's just... You got about 10 of them on there, and you're hoping they're put together just right. But I took my daughter there right before we came up, and she saw this twister. It's called a twister. It's a huge thing. It looks like a hammer, you know? And it does something like this, you know? And all of a sudden, it goes all the way up, you know? And so she wants to get on there. She's 10 years old, thinking, oh, man. You know, I got one kid. I mean, if I have three or four, yeah, go ahead. I got one kid. I'm thinking, okay, all right. So I pay the money. I pay the money. She gets on there, and she's flying, man. She's going, I'm looking at her, and she's got this face. She gets off just trembling. I'm literally trembling. And I look at her, and I say, are you all right? She goes, that was fun. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't mind spending the money. I don't mind. She enjoyed it. This is something that she wanted to do. Now, if she had gone there and said, man, that was boring. I hate this stuff. I ain't going to spend the money on that. I didn't want to give the money to that. But you know what? Your missionaries, Poland, Mexico, your missionaries, I can tell you one thing. They enjoy what they do. Not only do they enjoy what they do, but I don't think they do it half-heartedly. I don't think they do it just because they get a paycheck. Well, I know they don't do it just to get a paycheck. I mean, some of these guys could possibly be doing more. You know? I come back, I'll probably be changing tires again, and I'm all right with that. You know? I'm all right with that. But some of these guys I work with, they could probably do a lot more. But they like what they do, and they're doing it in a country that really needs the gospel. There's so many discouragements that happen not only in our lives, but in the church to discourage us from not continuing with the most important work we possibly have. I mean, just think about Think about your family members, your friends. I mean, how many people, seriously, would put up every single night this week to come to a mission conference? You know, I remember when I was here and I was working, and I wasn't a missionary, and I'd invite my friends from work, and they'd say, "Where are you going tonight? Let's go out to Clicks and play some pool, or let's go somewhere else." And I say, "I'm going to a mission conference this week. You know, I'm going to be there every single night." And they're thinking, "Oh," I'm thinking, "And what is that?" "Well, we're going to hear about the gospel. You know, we're going to hear about what they're doing in another country and how they're preaching. Come along." Well, you know, I mean, this is not where they want to be. So many times we get discouraged and we almost want to listen to those people and say, "You know what, maybe I will have a better time somewhere else but this week being in here." But you know what? If you're a born-again believer, if you're involved in the work, this is where you need to be. Amen. You need to get stirred up. I need this every single year. And believe you me, I look forward to this week. You know, something else happens here. Not only did they have that energy to go out and accomplish this great feat for God, you know, this is come on over, this is cross over there, and we're just going to do this thing. And then the discouragement, seeing 600 bodies over there just sitting down. But you know, we see also some problems along the road. Look what it says in verse 4. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 4. It says, "And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other, Sinna." Two sharp rocks that they had to get across. Later on, we find out that he was on his hands and knees getting up. You talk about determination. You talking about being focused. It didn't matter the problems or the obstacles. He had one goal: to get over to the garrison and destroy those people. One single goal. That is a mission. You know, I don't like money problems. I don't like car problems. You know, I was complaining. I was complaining on the way up here. You know, I was sticking my inverter. You guys know what an inverter is, right? The little box that converts. Anyways, plug things in. Basically, that's all I know. Anyways, I was plugging this thing in the cigarette lighter, and it wouldn't stay on. It wouldn't work. It kept popping it out. And then my battery was giving me problems, and I started getting all mad. And I told Karen, I said, "Why can't I have a car that just works?" And then I look around, I'm thinking, I have an inverter that costs $60 to plug in a laptop. What am I complaining? Good night, man. But you know what? We have adversities all over the place. Car problems, money problems, family problems. So many things just to get... You just said, how many people were arguing and fighting before they came to this meeting? I think that probably happens all the time, many times. Many a Sundays, problems happen, flat tires, whatever it is. We have problems. But you know, we need to get here. This is where we need to be, you know? And I'm thinking, with all these problems, it doesn't matter, because you know why? I love it when a lost soul gets saved. Amen. It's just the most greatest feeling in the world. It's just amazing to me. Have you ever had anybody just knock on your door? A member, somebody who you brought to the Lord, and they just happen to be in the neighborhood? You know, and they just knock on your door, and they just want to say hi to you and thank you again because you've given them the gospel. I'm thinking, man, this is just an incredible work that I'm part of. And all I did was open the Bible and say, you know what? This is what God says. Exactly what Jonathan was thinking, I think, you know, and the one that bore his armor. He said, you know what? All we're going to do is come, go over, and get in there. That's all we got to do. We just got to get to the top because God's going to give the victory.
Amen.
Isn't it great that all we have to do is plant and water and God gives the increase?
Amen.
You know, we have adversity all over the place. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You know, over there in Haggai, where Brother Steve was at, in chapter 1, in verse 4 through 8, when he's talking about building the house for God, and that was amazing to me that when I read that, where God says, "I will take pleasure," He says, "I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified." You know, in building the house of the Lord. After he stirs up the people, right? After he stirs up these two guys and they start working for the Lord, and then all of a sudden the problems, you know, start. The people start, you know, ridiculing, you know, they start making fun of. And you know what God says there in Haggai chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, when they say, "Who is left among you?" So they recalled, you know, how the house was before. And he says, "Yet now be strong and work. I am with you." You know, I personally think we have a great work here. I personally think, you know, I mean, it could have been better years ago. I have no idea. You know, it could have been not as good. I just don't know. But what I do know is right now we have a good work. What I do know is I got people to preach to tonight. What I do know is that when I do come up, you know, and some of you guys treat me as a visitor, and that's okay. And other folks, and other folks, you know, treat me well, you know, they know exactly, you know, who I am, and that's great too. But you know what? I love to see new people. I love to see other people who have trusted in the Lord and are getting involved and going forward amongst all the adversity. And you got problems just like I got problems. You know? You get depressed just like I get depressed. You know? And seeing the same faces over and over sometimes is a little depressing. You know? I want to see more people. You know? And if we could just have the same people with smiles, that'd be better.